Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions. So glad to have you here. And tonight, as I mentioned last week, we have a very special guest, James Wanless, the inventor of the Voyager Tarot. And I'm going to just read them a little bit about your background before we charge right in. You, I believe, are a PhD from Columbia University, political science. No wonder you went into tarot.
Exactly. That's.
I can see the connection right away.
For sure.
In fact, I'm thinking if they used tarot more, we'd probably be better off.
Well, that is true.
Anyway, you weave the ancient wisdom into modern life with the symbolic, mystic, and intuitive tools and systems. I love the artwork. Ken Knutson's Oils and Watercolors. Beautiful. It's just so fabulous. I like the way it looks and feels.
Mm-hmm.
And James has a good writer. He's had two books, Way of a Great Oracle, and it's a Voyager book for designing the future and strategic intuition for the 21st century, which is Tarot for Business. You also are the director of the Wanless Training Institute that provides programs and workshops for self-development and professional certification as a Voyager consultant. And you're a futurist, you're an artist in your own right, and a counselor, of course, with your PhD. And welcome to our show. I am so happy to have you back again.
It's good to be with you, fellas.
Coming up next week, the 21st, 22nd, something like 20th, something like that, you will be in Baltimore. So anybody in Baltimore that's listening, feel free to contact Breeze Books and see if we can still get you in there.
Well, and I must say also, Phyllis, I'm going to be in Frederick, Maryland.
Frederick?
Yep.
When?
July 18.
Oh, how wonderful!
Yeah, I'm at July 18th at 10,000 Joys Books, Music, and Gifts, a bookstore
okay,
in Frederick.
Okay, it's in Frederick, Maryland, and it's where now?
10,000 Joys. What a great title.
10,000 Joys?
10,000 Joys.
J-O-Y-S?
J-O-Y-S, you got
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful metaphysical bookstore. And I'm
which
doing,
one?
10,000 Joys, I'm doing on the July 18th.
Okay, July 18th, great.
Doing readings and doing a talk in the evening. And then at Baltimore, I'm at Breathe Books.
Right, Breathe Books, right.
Yep, and then I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, you are? When?
July 24 through 26.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, you're going to be in our area. I'm sorry. I was hoping to get to see you again this time. Maybe I can.
Well, it's good to be busy.
I know. I know. You're a busy man, and you like to get things done and in order.
Well, yeah. But, and there's a bookstore in Richmond. It's called Alchemist Books
really?
And Gifts. The Alchemist. Yeah. Beautiful store in Richmond.
Well, I don't know about that bookstore, but I can certainly... have suggested people come and see you because it is a wonderful treat to go to your workshops and to get a reading. You give great readings.
Well, thanks. You know, the great thing about learning how to read cards or any of these kind of counseling practices is that it's just so fulfilling.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing like turning on a person to themselves and empowering them and realizing that they kind of get it, like, aha. You know, a lot of readings, Phyllis, are what I call confirmation readings.
Yes.
They kind of say, you know, we kind of know, but it's really good to have an outside opinion, you know. And when the cards come up and say, wow, mm-hmm. I am the magician, you know, I do know something, I can do something.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah. It's really, as I say, fulfilling and meaningful. So it's not about just doing lots of readings and making some money. It's about really, you know, helping people out in their lives. And we all need some help. Hey, we all need allies. We all need helpers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
And confirmation. Because I think part of it is that we know, and it helps to, as you already have mentioned, to bring a confirmation into our lives that we do know what we think we know.
and the real question is, Phyllis, why don't we trust ourselves? Why don't we trust and believe in ourselves?
Because we were taught not to.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been taught to.
Don't believe it because, you know, it's in some instances you're told it's evil, and in other instances you're told it couldn't possibly work. It's a superstitious monk. And
right.
Any all and the other stuff when the devil is in it and the whole nine yards. I mean,
And to presume that we know as much as some authority or some professor or the people who write the books,
mm-hmm.
you know, people who are in positions of power,
mm-hmm.
how can we think that we could do anything?
Well, yeah, it's been my experience. People have a knowledge and a little bit of ego, want to make sure that they hoard all this information to themselves. So it's a matter of greed,
mm-hmm.
selfishness,
yeah.
not wanting to share,
right,
and fear,
right. Oh, you've named them all. You know, and it's particularly true in the tarot field of cards, where in the past,
really,
a lot of card readers have really hoarded the knowledge. They don't particularly want to share it or how they do it, and put people down like, well, you're not psychic and I am, you know.
Yeah,
and that's
no
a way of keeping their job,
age.
Keeping their business, and keeping people underneath them and keep coming to them for counsel, when in fact the average person really does know what they're doing.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what I'm finding out more and more about myself as time goes on. And it's learning to trust myself, because I was taught, or I was being Catholic, you know, the devil and the whole nine yards, and I swear to you, I had an aunt who used to look under her bed, you know, to make sure there were no burglars there, and I kept saying, you know, one of these days, if you don't stop doing that, one of these days you will find one under your bed, and what are you going to do if you do? If you keep looking for it,
yep.
Guess what? The universe will provide it.
Absolutely. What you find is what you're looking for. I mean, you know, that's so true even in the quantum physics world. If,
right.
if you're looking at matter as a line, you'll see it as a line. When you see it as a point or a dot, you'll see it as a point or a dot. I mean, we see what we want to see. And of course, that's a little bit of a problem for a lot of us in terms of following our intuition, because a lot of times our intuition is skewed or off base because we're seeing what we would like to see when that may not be the truth.
Yes. Now, how does one avoid that mistake? How does one become cognizant of the fact that we are creating our own, creating what we want to see and not what is actually there?
Well, the first and most important thing is just being aware of that very point.
Okay.
And so it's like saying, particularly this is, you know, Phyllis, this is particularly true in relationships. Like you meet somebody and you want to think, believe that, oh, this guy looks great, and or this woman is wonderful, because that's what we want to, you know, think.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that may not be actually the case. So the whole idea is to say to myself or ourselves, like, hey, wait a minute, is this really, really the truth? And so just knowing that a lot of times we project
mm-hmm.
Our own desires into it, just knowing that allows us to be a little bit more objective.
I had wondered that when doing your tarot, because
mm-hmm.
I keep getting some really wonderful things and seldom any bad stuff, and I keep saying, you know, am I just trying to influence it so that only good stuff comes up so I can...
Well, you know? In every tarot deck, a classic tarot deck, and even in the Voyager deck that I created, there are a dozen, 12 of what we would call the caca cards, you know.
Right, but they...
Negative
but they,
cards.
Maybe it's because you've taught me this, okay? Let me say it before you go in, the caca card.
Yeah.
But because... Every cloud has a silver lining.
Mm-hmm.
It may be caca, but it might be just a learning experience to move you from one phase into another.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think our greatest teachers are those negative situations that come up in our lives. They get our attention, and we're challenged. We have to learn from them. We have to move through them. I mean, I'm convinced that our greatest teachers are those great challenges and tests, the things we don't want in life. Hey, how many people, did you ever like to take tests in school? Probably not. Really?
Well, they didn't bother me so much, except in math, because I didn't feel confident that much in math.
Right.
And so that bothered me.
Yeah. But usually the truth is that most of us don't want to be tested.
Well, that's true, too.
With some adversary kind of situation.
Right, because it sounds like an adversarial, doesn't it?
Yeah. But in fact, it's our greatest ally, it's our helper, and I call it these cards caca because it's fertilizer, you know. You know, the lotus does grow out of the mud. The greatest gardens of the world come out of these compost heaps, you know. So this compost stuff, this caca, is really the growing grounds, the stuff from which we really grow ourselves and our lives.
Well, there are some people who have provided me caca.
Be thankful, bless them, and move on.
Oh, yes, and I say to my husband, thank you so very much, you son.
Thank you so very,
morning,
very
bumpkin.
Much. But it's true, and you know, in some readings where the cards are all positive, 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 and I'll say, okay, let's get a little real here in a sense, and I want you to pick a caca card.
Uh-huh.
I want you to pick a card that could, and I emphasize could, represent a challenge for you that could be your obstacle, that could be your adversary, that could be your challenge. And that, because that's the truth. You know, every day of our lives we have, hey, when I'm driving to town, my adversary is a slow driver. Or a detour, or some road under construction.
Yes,
when
our
road's not under construction, you know.
Well, I wanted to mention to our listeners again that they certainly can sign on and call in, and if I can find the phone number, it should be tattooed on my forehead by now, for BBS Radio, for you to call in, and it's 1-877-876-5227. Please feel free to call in and talk to James or talk to us, because let's see what's coming up this year. I know you can do that too, sir. Talk to us about what you think is coming up for the Earth. Can you make give us the answers to that by doing the cards?
Well, you know, every time somebody asks me a question, I say, well, I don't know, but let's see what the cards have to say.
Okay.
And the reason I do that is that, you know, we have our own opinion about things, and sometimes they're correct and sometimes they're not, but the point is that, we usually project what we would like to see about anything. And also sometimes, Phyllis, we get into a funky mood where we're a little bit emotionally out of balance. We might be a little upset or angry or fearful, anxious, and that can even distort our estimation and evaluation of anything. And that's why cards kind of keep us a bit honest. They remove us from our own ego, from our own kind of
good way to put it.
Yeah, and from our own emotional situation, which may not be all that healthy in the moment.
Right.
And I'm picking a card here from the Voyager deck about this coming year for the planet, for Earth. Is that
okay?
That's a pretty big question.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure it is. Anything good happening? Yeah.
Well, you know, interesting, the card I get is the Statue of Liberty card in the Voyager. It's called the Aspiration card, which is, but I must say, it's got the Washington Monument in there.
Interesting. Right, I remember.
Statue of Liberty in New York. It's got a black power fist, you know, from a great monument in Africa when all those countries were becoming independent here. So it's kind of it would indicate it's a card and a time of strife. I mean, a lot of people wanting to break free and break through and facing adversity, facing challenge, and having to really fight their way through things. I mean, this is not a bed of roses kind of card. It's like this is a time of struggle. I mean, even look at our economy. I don't think things are all that easy for all of us. And look at the situation politically and internationally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's it's a difficult period of our lives right now, and nobody really knows what's happening anywhere. Anyway, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of change. So that there's another hand here. I'll kind of laugh having said that. It's kind of a hand that's reaching for, in prayer, for for some help from the universe here. So it's kind of a tenuous, difficult time, I think, for most of us. You know, and I think most of us can probably relate to that. Even though life is supposed to be getting better and better, you know, what's interesting, Phyllis, even though with all the modern advances in technology and all this kind of stuff, we are actually working more and harder than human beings have ever lived in life before.
Uh-huh.
And so there we go. So in spite of everything that's supposed to be easy for us, we're really talking about struggling to sustain. It is all about sustainability, and I'm not talking just planetary sustainability. I'm talking personal sustainability, our ability to kind of get going and keep it up and move through all these challenges that we do have. So it's kind of like I'm thinking of some kind of like a Notre Dame fight song, like Fight On, or something like that.
So,
because that's where we are.
So you think just for the Earth itself and for many people, it's going to be just a struggle?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a struggle at this point in time. I think, you know, we have our ups and our downs. One of the great principles in the tarot is represented by the Wheel of Fortune card.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wheel of Fortune spins, and we all know that we have cycles in our lives. The economy has its cycles. We have good times and down times, and the wheel moves. And so I think we're in a difficult time right now, and you know, the wheel will turn.
Mm-hmm.
We hope, we pray, and we hang on.
With both little fingers, right?
Oh, yeah, and I have a wonderful, in the Fortune, Wheel of Fortune card in Voyager, I have a wonderful little dancer, the very, very corner top of the card, a little, you can hardly see her, but boy, is she dancing the Wheel of Life, and it is all about, gosh, I think, you know, Phyllis, I think our greatest gift is the ability to be able to change, to be flex-able, to be adapt-able, to be change-able, to move with the flow, to go with the flow, and not get stuck and not get fixed. You know, if we stay fixed in our lives, we're going to be dinosaurs, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So you see the U.S. and most of the economy now must be flexible?
Yeah, we all have to be flexible, and there's so many possibilities and so many opportunities and so many complexities and so many difficulties at the same time. I just see that ultimately America is going to have a whole new renaissance. So, and it has to start with education. It has to start with economy. And there's just so many areas, and we're just getting bogged down in ridiculousness, you know, politically and financially and economically. And you know, there's an incredible challenge out there with other countries, with China, of course, and with the whole European common market. And it's not like America can just sail through. Hardly.
Okay, so
now I'm not a prophet of gloom and doom. I must say that. I mean, this card, this aspiration card, is positive, and there is light there. But it means we have to reach for it. We have to go for it. We have to go through all the kind of the caca and the difficulties that we do, experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, we have a listener. Welcome to our show.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi, this is Julia from Maryland.
I can't hardly hear you, honey.
It's Julia from Maryland.
Hi, Julia. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. You have a question for our wonderful guest here.
Well, I was going to see if he would consult the cards as far as a relocation.
As far as your own personal relocation?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, sure. Is this, let me just ask you, is this for professional reasons, personal, or any particular reason for relocation?
I just would like a fresh start.
Well, that's a good. That's fair enough. And I think I like that. It's kind of, to me, the greatest challenge in life now is what I call reing our life, R-E, and you're talking about restarting. you know, and recreating and renewing and rejuvenating.
Mm-hmm. Renewing.
Renewing your life and yourself, absolutely.
Yeah, renew, that's an excellent word.
And relocating is part of that. Actually, I'm working on a book called Reing Your Life at this time. To re. It's all about being able to renew and redo and restart and refresh.
Wow.
Okay, let's talk about this relocation here. I'm picking a card. Why don't you just tell me when to stop? I'm putting my hands over the cards, okay?
Okay. Stop.
Well, right there. Let me go there. Well, it's called confusion.
Mm.
Which is, yeah, maybe.
Maybe the right thing to say at this moment.
I mean, this is a card that it indicates, like, well, that's not a bad idea, but where do I want to go, and can I do it, and when can I do it, and should I do it? And it's a mental card, Julia. It's very much in the mind, thinking about this, but you're kind of in this limbo land, like, I don't know, maybe. That's why you're asking. You called in the show.
That's exactly right.
About this. Now, what I advise, and my way of actually reading the cards is less about prophecy and prediction, because I'm not sure anybody really knows the future. It's more about coaching and what to do in the situations we get into. So, for example, you're in this confusion. My advice to you would be, don't think, just feel. What feels best to you? To stay where you are or to relocate? What just feels best to you emotionally?
I would like to relocate.
Okay, so that just feels better than staying where you are?
Yes.
Okay, that's what you want to do. Then the question is, relocate to where? Do you have some different options in mind?
That's part of the whole confusion, is the where.
Yeah. And so let's say you have three options. Let's just, you know, for sake of our conversation. And then instead of actually, again, thinking about each of those places, feel it out. Which of those places just simply feels emotionally best to you? And follow that. I'm saying this because I actually, Phyllis, one book you did not mention I've written is called Intuition at Work.
No,
it's all
about
intuition.
I didn't see that listed.
Yeah, well, it's not about Tarot at all.
Okay.
And I'm on top of this intuition stuff and have an intuition blog site and everything. And,
oh, okay.
And the studies are showing the more you think about situations like this, the less effective you're going to be. It's all about feeling your way through. So, to you, Julie, I'd say, which of all the places you're thinking of moving, which one just emotionally feels best to you?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's
part of the confusion as well, because I don't really have... I have a couple of ideas, but...
I'm not interested in ideas. I'm interested
I know.
In feelings.
I haven't got a warm fuzzy for anything just yet.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, all right. That maybe is the confusion, then. You're not... You really haven't come up with the right relocation place.
Exactly.
And that's your homework. I mean, that's your scouting work, is to be looking, okay, I could go here, what about that? Look at this, look at that, look at this, and then feel it out. So the intuitive way is getting a lot of information. Intuition is not adverse to information at all. It's really scouting out info, but then feel out which part of the information feels best to you, and then taking action on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that we a lot of times do is we get the right feeling, but we sabotage that because we get back into the thinking mind.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, thinking, there's the last issue of Psychology Today is all about intuition. Scientific American, the last issue was all about intuition. All the scientific, and we're talking scientific studies, are showing it's all about making decisions by following the feeling there.
Hmm.
But, and what I would do is, if Julia, if you had, let's say you were saying, okay, I'm feeling like I want to go to wherever, okay, then what I would do with the cards is say, well, what do the cards say about that? You know, what about that place? And see, you know, if we can get some confirmation or not about it. So the way I use the cards is not about, well, hey, this is going to happen, but what do you want to have happen? What do you feel is the right thing? And we use the cards as just extra information, confirmation, affirmation, kind of as a catalyst for this intuitive change that we're feeling out there. But in any event, I would, the answer you gave me was that you just want a new start, right?
Yes.
Okay. So having told me that, let's pick a card on, you're pretty convinced of that. Now, tell me when to stop about picking a card on just, again, relocating.
Stop.
Stop right there. Okay. Well, then you go into the card called fear, which is,
geez.
Yeah, but, yeah,
are
I feel like
I've, cards?
Yeah, a fear, well, and these are all natural, I mean, these are human cards, I mean, we all have this, but sometimes the fear can be so great that it really does paralyze us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a problem, you know, it's like, yeah, I'd love to move, and I know it's the right thing, but I just don't know if I can, or I don't find the money, or whatever. And then we get, you know, we get paralyzed, and then we don't act on our intuition. And then we're really in the muck and the mire,
yeah.
It seems to me. So let's go another step. Do you have the strength within to move through the fear and do the right thing, which is relocate? So tell me when to stop again with the cards.
Now I don't want to say it. Stop.
Stop there. Okay. The Hermit. The Hermit,
okay,
actually.
Okay, Phyllis, you pick next one, okay?
No, I love The Hermit. I mean, I think a lot of people have a very, very, very strong misconception of The Hermit. The Hermit is the wise sage.
Yes.
In the tarot, a person who knows what they're doing, totally believes in themselves, very independent, very self-sufficient,
yes.
And has the integrity and the focus to do the right thing. And I must say also something about the Hermit, it being number 9 archetype in the tarot always, is the card of completion, meaning, gosh, I've done this long enough. I've lived here long enough. I've been there long enough, done this, been there, and all that kind of stuff. And now it's time to really complete that chapter in my life. And a completion is the first step towards a new beginning.
Well, you want to hear something else that's just an interesting side note to that?
Sure.
Right now I'm 45 years old, and numerologically that's a 9.
That is a 9. That is a 9. There you go. And another way of looking at numerology, Julia, is in the tarot there are 22 of these major archetype cards. So we go through each one of them consecutively through life. So every 22 years, we go back to zero and we start a new 22-year cycle. So at age 44, basically you're back to zero, and at 45, you're in the number 1 year of a whole new 22-year cycle of your life.
Oh, wow.
So from both points of view, you have both a completion and a new beginning. So I would say get going.
I was going to say, that sounds like confirmation to move.
Yeah. And, of course, you have these noble adversaries of paralysis through analysis, confusion, and anxiety and fear about doing it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fear of, uprooting your entire life to try someplace new, and then, you know, the fear of what if it doesn't work.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I mean, why uproot something that and perhaps fail? But
that's a little fear there.
Yeah. I just do know, though, and it's been true in my life, and having done, you know, the tarot and counsel people over the last, 25 years, that generally speaking, this is a generalization, when you do something that you know is the right thing, good things happen. And they may not be things we can predict at all, but good things do happen to you when you follow your own heart's desire, when you follow what your soul, your inner self is really telling you, because you're in your power. You're being you, and when you're being you and authentic, then you have the best chance to really author your life in the way you would like to see it become. But we just don't know the form in which it is going to result.
Yeah,
you know, that's kind of the mystery of life. And frankly, I like the uncertainty and the unknown. Well, how is it really going to play out?
Yeah, think of it as an adventure.
And God, I just wish people, back to the rewords, I wish we would reframe our lives instead of, well, I'm living my life, and just see it as, reframe it. I mean, you know, rethink of it and see it as adventure.
Oh,
wow.
Absolutely.
And you know, when we go on adventures, crazy things happen. But I'll tell you, when we're living in adventure, boy, are we living in our highest zone of awareness. I mean, we are on. And we have to be on, and that's what we want to live. We want to live in that place of, you know, that highest state of awareness, of our highest state of energy. Why not? Why get lazy? Why watch TV? And why die on the sofa?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yes. I call it death by comfort.
Yeah. You know?
Frankly, I'd rather die by astonishment.
There you go. Yeah, that would be a good way to go.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, golly.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate this.
Well, thank you, Julia. Thanks for hanging in there with this. And, you know, I think sometimes in the old tarot, the old classic tarot, you get a card like confusion or fear. It's like, oh, forget it. I'm not going to go. And I just say, well, hold on. You know, that's part of the process.
Yeah.
Part
well, I definitely
process.
Liked your explanation and your way of seeing it.
Well, great. Thank you very much.
To view it by.
Okay. Onwards you go.
Yeah.
Thank
All right,
you.
Take
All
care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sugar, for calling in.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Talk to you later, honey. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Oh, that's super.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So. Well,
and it kind of goes along with that first card I pulled of aspiration with the Statue
uh-huh.
of Liberty.
It does.
Like, hey, I want to get free of where I am or what I'm doing, you know,
right.
Because, you know, we do get bored and we do get stuck and we do get stagnant with the same old, same old, same old. And what Julia's talking about, it's enough.
Okay.
Enough of this. It's time to move on. And, you know, and that's the life impulse. I mean, that's where life is.
Well, it means new beginnings.
Absolutely.
You know, it means adventure. It means, you know, leave of the nest, so to speak. It's like being born again, in a sense.
Yeah, renewed and reborn, for sure, and refreshed. And all those, again, back to those re-words. And that's the name of the game here. You know, in the old days, hey, you know, we might have died at 50, 55, or 60, you know. But in our day and age, hey, we might live to 80 or 90 or 100 even now. And so why pack it in at 45. I mean, there's what we call second life ahead of us, you know, by, you know.
Probably
actually,
the most meaningful lives.
Totally. By the time we're 44, 45, that midlife crisis, which I see as opportunity, we do have an understanding of who we are, and I think that's when the best and the juiciest and most powerful part of our lives kick in.
Yes.
Is, you know, after that 44, 45 age, I relationship-wise, golly, I mean, I see the best relationships when people get over that 40 hump or even over into 50 and 60,
mm-hmm.
you know? And actually, I was listening to a tape by Deepak Chopra.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And he was talking about long living and longevity of life, and he was... you know, doing some research about all these kind of cultures and geographic places on the planet where people lived to be the longest living, you know, over 100 kind of ages. And all these scientists are trying to figure out what is it that all these places have in common. Is it the diet? Is it the weather? Is it the water?
Right.
You know? I think they went through like 100 different, variables. And
right.
they couldn't come up with anything except for one. And the one thing that all these cultures and places had in common is they had a cultural belief system, a belief within that society that they live in, that growing older meant growing better. Growing old was not like getting old in the
right.
sense of dumb and lazy
yeah.
or, you know, tired and fatigued and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Just getting more quality.
That, well, you know, I believe that the older a woman gets, it's like a fine wine or a well-made violin. She
Absolutely.
Gets better.
Absolutely.
That's
and,
my opinion, anyway.
No, it's the well, if we believe, that's the truth. I mean, it all goes back to our mindset. It's about what we talked about at the beginning of your show. If we believe that life is this in such a way, then that's what we're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. So why don't we believe that, hey, as no wine before its time, you know? As we age, we get more seasoned. And I don't use that word old. I just think that is a pejorative term.
Yes.
And, you know, there's 100 million of us baby boomers out there who are going to be retiring in the next 10 years.
Right.
What are we going to be doing? Pack it in and try and scrap out a life on a golf course and
no,
be frustrated
God.
With that? Forget it, you know?
No.
We have a whole new life ahead, and I think that's what this aspiration
mm-hmm.
card to a certain extent is about,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, restarting our lives and relocating our lives and re-beginning our lives, and that's because there's so much of a life ahead of us.
I'm for that.
Yes, we are. And I just think we're at the dawn of a great period in human history. I mean, we're living longer than we've ever lived before. We're not going to retire at 60. We can't afford to retire at 60. Forget it. So we're looking at really kind of regrowing, rebuilding, renewing our lives
mm-hmm.
at an age where people in the past have died.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
true.
It's a fascinating, fascinating, exciting period in human history.
Mm-hmm. I think that's super. Again, anyone wants to call in, they can. Why don't you pick a card for me?
For you.
Happens.
Well, now I'm going to pick a card for Phyllis, of where you are now in
okay.
your life. I'm particularly, you know, frankly, cards, whenever we pick them, they're all about now. I
yes.
mean, you know, the future is some fiction. The past is some dead history, you know. Like,
yeah.
you know, so what? It's all fiction. But now is the truth.
Okay.
And so what about the truth of Phyllis right now? Okay. And, wow. I just
what?
The card, and I've got all 78 of the Voyager cards face down, so I'm not
right.
lying here. The card I just got for you is called The Universe. It's 21. It's blackjack. It's you win.
I win? Yes. Oh, good. What do I win, Dad?
And it's, yeah, I mean, in the tarot, it's the card of the greatest archetype. It's kind of the personality type of where you're now at a place in your life where you have a lot of savvy. You've been around the block, a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom, still got energy, still got aspirations and visions
uh-huh.
and dreams. And it's kind of playing the role of the gods and the goddesses of deliberately designing, consciously designing your life and manifesting. Manifesting is the highest card of manifestation of creating and realizing what you want out of your life.
Now. Cool.
And it is a process.
Okay.
In other words, it's not like it's all done and completed, you know. It's actually, if you look at the Voyager card, this is a Michelangelo sculpture piece of a of an emerging giant coming out of the rock. So, which is symbolic of you're in process. You're in the process
right.
of creating, designing, realizing, manifesting the life of your desire and design. Here.
Oh, that
but a process is not quick and easy. You know, it's a process.
Right.
Here. And what I find so interesting about sculpture as a creative process is the way, you know, a person comes out of a sculpture, out of a rock,
yes.
it's by chipping away what does not need to be there.
Well, what did, who was it? Was it Michelangelo? Not Michelangelo. Who was the other one?
Da Vinci?
Yes. What he said was, when he looked at a piece of marble, he could see the figure in it.
Yeah.
And he just chipped away what wasn't the figure.
Right.
Very easy.
Yeah. So the real question now would for you, Phyllis, would be, so what is it you need to get rid of and release and drop and chip away in
okay.
your life?
Okay, pick another card.
Okay. And I think it's a really great process to actually think about that and come up with your own answer, and then also, in addition, consult the cards
uh-huh.
and see. I mean, I just think that is the coolest way to do the tarot is
okay.
think about it. You know, you could give me an answer what you think you need to let go of, and that's totally valuable. And then let's see what the cards have to say.
Oh, I need to let go of a fear of failure.
Ah. Fear of failure. How about that? Oh, boy. Here we go. Here's the card to let go of. Wow.
What? I mean,
you have the card now. We've got to kind of twist the card around here because it doesn't make sense otherwise. But the card is called compassion.
Oh.
Okay. So, do you have compassion for yourself? Do
yes.
You know?
Well, actually... I demand a lot of myself.
Uh-huh. And so you've set the bar, the standard, pretty high.
Yes, I do. Yes.
And no wonder you have the fear of failure. And I mean, failure is a very subjective word. I mean,
absolutely.
A failure to one person might be success to another.
Right.
And
that's
because
true.
You
that's
set,
true.
But yeah, it's true. You're hard on yourself, meaning, you know, no wonder you have fear. Because you've set the standard of success so high that the chances are you might, quote-unquote, experience failure. So this compassion card is saying, hey, come on, be a lot gentler, nicer to yourself.
Okay.
You don't have to have X amount of dollars in the bank. You don't have to have, look, you know, weigh 110 pounds
okay.
you know, or whatever. You know, it's just been a lot. You know, one of the greatest pieces of advice I ever heard was from when I was in a Buddhist monastery in Nepal, the Lama said, you know, the most important thing with compassion is to treat yourself
exactly.
the way the mother would treat her baby.
Right.
In other words, be really generous and kind to you here. And so you might have a glitch and you might have what would perceive to be a failure from your old value system, from your old belief system.
Mm-hmm.
But from a greater point of view, with compassion, it's like, well, that's part of the deal. That's okay, you know? I mean, it is okay. I think we just have these most unbelievable artificial standards of success and failure. And I just think they're coming from old conditioning, old
yeah.
beliefs, old socialization, and an old world.
Mm-hmm.
And who cares about that? That's gone.
Yes.
You know, it's about really enjoying yourself, enjoying your life, and that's why out of 78 cards in the tarot, 66 of them are positive. 66 are positive. There's only 12 so-called caca cards because
right.
most of our lives for most of us, of most people, is good.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we may have a hard time paying the rent. We may have a hard time dealing with a workmate. And yeah, we might have a hard time in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But really, come on. You want a hard time? Go to Africa.
Yeah, I hear.
I mean, you know, and I've been blessed, and I don't know if that's the right word, to have traveled extensively through Africa. And if you want a sense of failure, you want a sense of difficult life.
Oh yes.
Then there you go. And we are so blessed. We are so lucky. We are
yeah.
so advantaged that even though we get caught up in our pissy little problems, you know, by Starbucks made my coffee wrong, you know. Oh, come on. You know, get a life, you know, because it's all life is relative, you know.
Right.
And I don't think you know, we do live in this age of relativity, and I don't
yes.
believe that we've really taken Einstein to heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that everything is relative, you know. So we think, oh, my God, life's crapping out and all that. Well, again, relatively, from somebody else's point of view, you are so lucky. Get down on your knees and thank the gods and the goddesses for your good life, and that is the truth. you know.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that we don't struggle, you know. I mean, hey.
Ultimately,
we all have to kind of struggle through a lot of stuff. But boy, that's what it tests our mettle. That's how we grow. I mean, to me, life is all about. I see ourselves on the planet, you know, Phyllis, is we're kind of in a nursery. You know, Earth is a nursery, and we, these human beings called us, we're little seedlings in this nursery, and our purpose and objective in life is to grow into maturity, to grow into a great oak tree from a little seedling, to grow into a great redwood tree from a little sprig, you know? But, you know, how do trees grow? I mean, it's a struggle. They have to get through the ground, and they have
I'm beginning to think, what you're telling me is I'm going to have a hell of a struggle in front of me, because you keep using that word.
Well, life is a struggle, and that's okay. Big deal. And, again, it's how do you define struggle?
Yeah, you know, but again, you're scaring me now.
we think it's awful, such a struggle, but come on, from an African's point of view, this is
a
struggle.
Well, yes, I understand, but I'm not African. I'm not in Africa.
Yeah.
So I have to say I'm having a hard time equating it with that, okay, because it's not a part of my consciousness. And I understand, and I'm cognizant of the sorrow and pain that is with other people. And I do understand this. I truly do.
Well, get over it then. I mean, your life is so good.
Yes, and I understand that.
So?
But, anyway, you're going on and on. I'm thinking, holy shit, what's happening that I better go hide under the bed now.
People use butts so often in our culture that our butts are huge. And I'll tell you, we carry so much emotional weight, which comes from our belief system, that when we use butt, and every time you use butt, I guarantee your butt gets bigger. And that's why frickin' Americans are so fat. Because we carry all the weight.
Wow, you're getting really passionate here.
Exactly.
That's great. At any rate, this is a wonderful situation. You travel so very much. How do you see things coming along in the different portions? Do you see people becoming more aware and moving forward into their into greater awareness in the last a year or so with the changes that are happening?
I think with the fact that we're becoming so much more conscious of the planet and nature and the warming and da-da, you know, the whole bit, that absolutely we're waking up. Again, being challenged is the great wake-up call.
Absolutely.
And by waking up, we grow. Mm-hmm. And so, I absolutely believe that the threat, which is a real threat, is the greatest, kind of growth process we can undergo, because we have to become more conscious if we want to sustain, if we want to survive.
Absolutely.
Here. So I'm feeling really, optimistic about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the deal right now. And so I'm really, really hopeful because something caught our attention.
Finally, huh?
Finally, because, you know, we have so much, there's so much that wants to get our attention, from my little hangnail.
Yeah.
The slogan.
And it does work at you until it gets your attention.
Exactly. And everybody wants our attention. The advertisers want our attention.
Okay.
Television wants our attention. Friends want our attention. You know, it's listen to me, look at me, get my attention.
Me.
Yeah. And that's the name of the game, but this thing has really, really, Phyllis, caught our attention here. And it's so funny. It's interesting to me, like Al Gore, for example, when people ask him, well, do you want to run for president? He said, forget it. I have a lot more power doing what I'm doing now than any kind of political thing he could kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, it's kind of good that he wasn't president, maybe, because he's had a chance to really bring to the forefront this inconvenient truth of ours. And I think also, Phyllis, this whole thing with the Michael Moore thing called Sicko of the health care industry. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I mean, that is a disgrace. You know, in our country. And that's a big, big wake-up call. So these things that are, these are terrible situations, these wake-up calls. I am so thankful for her. Just hopefully it's not too late. You know, particularly
no, I don't think it is.
No.
It's never too late. I think Edgar Casey said, you know, it doesn't matter when you decide to make a change. It's just that you decide to make the change.
Exactly.
That's what's important.
The, yeah.
So my feeling is, no, it's not too late.
Right, right, right.
Would we rather it not be as late as it
right,
is?
Right.
Yes, well,
yeah.
Since there are so many of us who are hearing impaired,
hearing impaired.
We hear what we want to hear, as you say.
What did you say?
Denial is a river that runs through everybody's life, as far as I can
right.
see.
Denial is not a river in Egypt. No, and it's true. We do, you know.
I just wondered if you had seen it and seen the changes in people as they respond more and more to what's going on in our lives. And it's always interesting to me to try and predict some. I always, like at the year, I always try to predict.
Yeah.
You know, what's going to happen over the year and where I'll be and what will be happening the following year.
Yeah.
And I'm always surprised. Very often I'm right, but not in the way I thought it would turn out right.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
I mean, it ends up being right, but not by the method that
no,
I had.
Yeah, right. The general sense of what you're saying is correct.
Yes. And,
but the form in which it happens
that's
is
better,
totally...
Yeah.
Wacky and
yes.
wild and sometimes wonderful, but certainly not what we... There's a great book about how all the predictions that were done were just so whacked out wrong, you know? But in a sense, like what you're saying, they were right, but the way in which they come true,
right.
we just don't know, you know?
You know, the outcome.
That's the wonderful mystery of life, so... But, yeah, and I just think, well, I kind of, see, that's why I kind of stay away from predictions with tarot.
Uh-huh. Oops, I've lost you, I think. Hello? James?
Yes?
I lost you for a second.
Oh, people want... A lot of times, I'm sorry, an easy answer
yes.
to this is what's going to happen, and
yeah.
then go home and watch their TV, and, you know, and then it's all going to happen. Well, maybe, but maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very much on the proactive side, so I ask the client, I ask them, well, what do you want to have happen in your life?
Right.
Okay, and then I use the cards. For me, the cards are a map. The 78 cards give us the map of life,
mm-hmm.
so we pick a card on how to create what you want to have happen in your life, how to make the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fortune-telling, it's fortune-creation.
Right.
So, like, with your universe card,
mm-hmm.
Phyllis, you got, it says, wow, I mean, you are, it's a process of manifesting your visions and dreams here,
mm-hmm.
but the how question is, well, what do you need to let go of and chip away? And you, as you said, fear of failure. That's really where the tarot is at. I mean, that's coaching tarot. That gives us something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the doing, in taking action on the decision, intuition into action,
mm-hmm.
that things really, really happen. Because if we keep following the same old pattern, the same old habits, things aren't going to change.
No, one has to.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, and it's funny because I've taken some really proactive measures, even in this last week.
Yeah.
And it seems like it stirred up a whole mess of stuff.
Yeah.
Which would be very fascinating as to see it, as to how it's going to develop and turn out down the road.
Yeah, and I think the important thing is you're taking action.
That's the other thing is not only should you agree to do something, but you know, stir the pot as I would say. You know, take a big stick and put it in the pot and mix it up and see what you come up. What rises to the top of the pot?
Well, totally. Well, the deal is that you're cooking.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Now that you mention it, yeah.
You're stirring the pot and something's going to come out of that. It may taste like crap. I mean, you know, I hate to say that.
I hope not.
But it might be delicious. I love what I love what Michael Jordan, the great basketball player,
right.
said once. He said, you know, I have failed so many times at making that last second shot.
Right.
But it's only by taking them that and getting through failure that I got to success.
There you go.
You know,
and that's
the quicker
true.
You get through failure, the quicker you get to success. And I just think failure is part of the process of getting to success.
It can be. I mean, most businesses that become very vital and thriving and
mm-hmm.
are vibrant and live on started with the person who started them failing.
Oh, oh. Well, yeah, Walt Disney went bankrupt 3 times.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the world is replete with, and I don't know how many times Edison or Ben Franklin or any of these inventors tried their experiments before they finally got it. I mean, thousands of
right.
times of failure. And see, I don't see
failure, doesn't it?
I don't see failure as failure. I mean, it's
learning by experience,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. How do we know it's going to work? By knowing what doesn't work. But
that's
how do we
true.
Know what doesn't work? Well, we only find that out by trying, you know, by experience and experiencing here. I just think a lot of people live in a bit of a vacuum where they think about what could happen or might happen. Well, how the hell does anybody know until you really experience and try it? I really believe
it. Sometimes you learn more by what doesn't work than what does work.
Absolutely. And that's kind of my gist. So, I mean, when we talk about failure and fear and step back and confusion, it's like, so what?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We're all a little confused at times, you know.
Oh, absolutely. But I will say confusion is really a mental thing.
Actually, yeah, you're right. It is a mental state, not a emotional state.
Well, it's a great study that just came out, a scientific study about how to make a decision. A decision that's kind of complex where you have a lot of factors involved, like should I move here, there, or there, and would I become this, and that, and that. Well, there's a lot of variables in, say, a decision you're making, kind of complex. By far, the study says sleep on it overnight and then make an intuitive feeling decision the next day.
Well, that's an interesting concept.
Oh, if you start to think about it, number one, our brain is not physically equipped to analyze these complex situations. It depletes the brain, wastes time, and as a matter of fact, the decisions are worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't second guessing yourself.
Don't exactly feel it, get it, and do it. Get on with it. But that second guessing stuff is really the killer. You
well,
know,
my dear, I think we've come to the end of our session.
Already?
Yeah.
I'm just getting warmed up.
I want to thank you so much. I'm so glad we got the information out at the beginning that you are going to be in the Washington, D.C. area. And you want to give your website real quick, and then I'll just do a sign-off?
Well, it's www.voyagertarot.com. Voyager as in Voyager, and Tarot, T-A-R-O-T.com.
And then they can show, that'll tell them where you're going to be, right?
Yeah, I got my calendar here for Frederick and Baltimore.
Okay.
Wow.
I want to thank you again. I hope to have you on soon again. I'd love to.
Well, I'm sorry. My apologies for being a little bit over the top bombastic, but I do get passionate.
You can get passionate any time you want, my love.
Oh,
I'll just throw a bucket of cold water at you.
No.
At any rate, I'm Phyllis Pricer
on
BBS Radio with a Higher Dimension. So very much, we are grateful for your coming, and I'm so glad for all of my listeners. Thank you. We will have another wonderful guest next week. Stephanie Stevens. She is a medium and a psychic and just a thrilling person. I'm looking forward to interviewing her. I'm Phyllis Pricer. You can call me at area code 202-387-2080 or look me up on Multiple Pathways, www.multiplepathways.com. Again, thank you and good night, James. And
thank
I'll see if
thank
I can
you, Phyllis.
Meet you in one of those places, okay? Take care. Bye-bye.